I am Planta on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. Ken Kostick joins me now. The popular celebrity chef has been a longtime fixture in Canadian television, probably most recognized for hosting with Mary Jo Eustace, What's for Dinner. They're back together again for the second season of He Said, She Said with Ken and Mary Jo, which is seen on the Viva Network weekdays. He's got a new book out, The $10 Gourmet, Restaurant Quality Meals That Won't Break Your Budget. You'd think 10 bucks weren't enough for dinner for two at a fast food place. However, in this book, you can create meals that are inexpensive, easy, and from the looks of the photographs, quite delicious. A gourmet dinner party can be had for $30, and the essentials for your pantry can be stocked up for $50. It's a timely book, what with the economic crisis, and just in time for the holidays. Ken Kostick has been twice nominated for Gemini Award and is the author of some previous 14 best-selling books. His website is at kenkostick.biz. The $10 Gourmet is published by Whitecap. Please welcome to the Plant Online program from here in Vancouver this day, Ken Kostick. Good morning, Mr. Kostick.
Good morning, and wow, that was a very nice lead-up. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Yeah.
You grew up in Winnipeg?
I did. I grew up in the north end of Winnipeg. We didn't have a lot of money, but we always had food. So, you know, food is a real, real passion for me in my life, and it always has been from small. So.
And this idea of thrift, you learned that early on?
I did, but you know what? I have to be honest with you. You know, when I first started this book, I looked at it as a challenge because, you know, restaurants are able to create wonderful meals for about a third of what they charge you. So I wanted the challenge, and when I started it, to see if I could actually do recipes that had that restaurant quality, they had the freshness, and everyday food that you can do in about half an hour, three easy steps, for $10. And at times it was a challenge, but I found that it really was about the shopping.
And so you're designing these recipes. I'm assuming you work on that while you're making the book.
Yeah.
Did you have to throw things out because it went over 10 bucks?
Well, yes, I just would not use them. So how I started the book, once I decided I actually was going to do the $10 gourmet, I went to supermarkets and I did spreadsheets of all the different products, so produce, protein, canned items, things that I would need in the recipe. So once I did the spreadsheet, so as an example, I knew at one supermarket how much one onion would cost as opposed to another one. And that's how I put the recipes together. It took about 3 months of research. But it really is about us wasting and how much money we spend. You know, if the recipe calls for one red pepper, don't buy four. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that's really, as Canadians, we waste about a third of what we purchase.
And so when you have a recipe in here, say for salmon steak, that calls for salmon steaks, the price that you have here, I can't remember how much you had down for. That's the price you bought just two. You didn't buy like a pack of four.
No. Well, sometimes what I would do if I found that a pack of four was a really good price, I would buy the four, and then I'd just break it down per item, you know. But you can actually go, you know, to the stores and, you know, get salmon steaks for a lot less than you actually think. And the book is not based on sale items. I mean, if you see a sale, you should obviously pick it up. But it's based on everyday food that is available at regular prices, but you really have to know how to shop.
And did you have to do research in terms of how much things cost? Because you live in Toronto.
Right.
The prices in Toronto may be different than they are in Moose Jaw or right here in Vancouver.
Yeah, you know what? They would differ slightly, but only by cents. Now, in this book, by cents could mean, you know, pushing it over the $10. But, you know, again, there were some factors involved, you know, as far as weather, where the produce is coming from, where the protein's coming from. So it would vary slightly, but not a lot. I did an equal amount of research across the country, going out west, more out west, so because I knew that's where the book would be really, you know, from Toronto out west, you know, the book would be mostly well-received. So Yeah, I did. I found out, as an example, you know, your chain here, Safeway, you know, how much Safeway charges for certain items. And it was basically within cents.
Are you not?
Sometimes you were higher,
yeah.
Sometimes you were less.
Are you not well received east of Toronto?
It's not that I'm not. It's just it's a smaller market for me. You know, in Montreal, it's pretty well English speaking, and then the on the East Coast, it's a much smaller market. You know, the people who buy my books and watch my shows are, you know, a large volume group, and it's predominantly Toronto West.
Well, one of the
about 2 million viewers a week.
Right. One of the things in the book that you do is you give smart and effective shopping tips. Shop at different stores. You do that?
Yes. Yeah. Now, here's the thing. Once you start using this book, you're going to find that you can go to one supermarket chain and you'll buy protein a lot less than you will buy anywhere else. But if you go to their produce, it's about the same or higher. Whereas you'll go to another chain and you will find that produce, for some reason, is really inexpensive there, but you know your everyday pantry items are less. So what you do is right now, after doing this research, I know where to go buy protein. So I buy as much as I can when I'm there, and then I know where to buy produce. And what you'll find is with pantry items, like, you know, I use a lot of canned tomatoes, I use canned chickpeas, you know, that kind of stuff. You can really, you know, Tetra Pak soup stocks, it's amazing what I found. Some stores would carry them for $2.99 for a Tetra Pak of a 750-ml box. And then I could find the same kind of soup stock at another store for 69 cents. So you really have to know how to shop. Balsamic vinegar, if you go to one chain, balsamic vinegar will be $5.99 to $8.99 for a 750-ml bottle. You could actually find it for $1.49 at certain stores. So it's really being very conscious of where to shop and how to shop.
And you use coupons too, do you?
No, I don't. No, it's not a book on coupons. I advise you to do it if you have.
Yeah.
But I don't because it requires my reading glasses.
Yeah.
So no, you know, really, what you're going to find out is if you use the book, I give you a receipt on each recipe.
Right at the bottom.
So it tells you that the receipt for this protein and produce is about $8.49. Take that as your guideline to when you go shop. So if you require in three of these recipes, as I said, three green peppers, don't buy six, because after about 2 weeks you're going to go, I wonder what that was. Was that a green pepper in there? Yeah, and you're going to waste it. So it's money you're throwing out the window.
The other thing another shopping tip that you give us is that we should eat before we shop.
Yes, absolutely. You know what? Don't go shopping when you're hungry because, you know, everything looks good. And right now, you know, I went into your Safeway last night here. And the immediate thing that when I walked in the door was the smell. And they have you walk in the prepared food area first. So, you know, the smell of the food already gets you going, you know. So don't go shopping. You know, try to have lunch first. Then go shopping. The other tip that I tell you is don't go shopping when you have a lot of time.
Yeah.
Because what you do is, you kind of walk around. You go, oh, yeah, I need that, and I need that, I need that, you know. And before you know it, your whole cart's full of stuff that you didn't intend to buy. And as I said, as Canadians, we waste about a third of what we purchase. So...
The other thing that's great in this book is that at the beginning of the book, you have a list of essentials that we need for our pantry.
And your fridge, yeah.
And our fridge, and,
yeah.
And they come in at, what, $50?
Yes, $50. You should be able to do your pantry for about $50. And you know what I do is I give you pantry items that I use every single day. And they are things like dried ingredients. You know, I'm not one of these cooks or chefs who says, oh, you have to use fresh basil. No, use dried basil. And it's a lot cheaper, but buy things at a bulk barn, because if you take that little 125 ml bottle and you buy dried basil for $4.99, for $4.99 you could fill that bottle 10 times at a bulk barn, and it's the same product. So you know, I give you tips like that so that you can shop sensibly, replenish your pantry items, and just think about it. If you saved a third, just a third, if you have a family or even a couple, a third of what you spend in food a year, you're looking, you can go on a trip with that.
Yeah. Seafood, you have a lot of seafood recipes, and yep. One would think, and we talked about salmon steaks earlier, one would think that seafood was expensive, but in terms of where you found the seafood that you yep. did for under $10, where would you go?
Well, I everything was purchased at a local supermarket, so and these were not things on sale. So I would buy the bulk, you know, like a big bag of shrimp you know, a supermarket had. I would buy things like tilapia, sole, cod. I mean, you can find seafood for, you know, $5 or $6 that will feed two people. You know, just about anywhere. It's really a matter of how you shop. And I think what happens is we spend so much money on certain things. You know, I mean, I didn't do lobster tails. There were certain things I had to, you know, as you mentioned earlier, I had to stay away from because, you know, you really can't afford to do them under, you know, $10. But there was enough seafood in those supermarkets to do a whole chapter. And I got to be honest with you, I was quite surprised also that I could do as much with seafood as I did.
People think you've been on TV forever, and I guess you have, because thanks to syndication and the sort. This new show, you're on your second season. You do it in Toronto, right?
Yes, we film in Toronto. Mary Jo lives in Los Angeles, so she comes up to film the shows, and you know, we take one star ingredient and we cook it two different ways, and you know, it's more of the antics of what we do in the kitchen. You know, I mean, we're pretty ridiculous.
I was reading up on you prior to this, and mm-hmm. and some of the interviews that she's done on her own,
yeah.
they ask about you.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you're asked about her when people interview you.
Mm-hmm.
Is what we see on TV, the two of you, is that what happens off camera?
Yes, it is. I mean, I spoke to her Saturday evening before I went on the tour, and we had a long chat, and, you know, I think what has happened is we've gone in reverse in maturity level. I mean, we're just not very mature people, and we do have an enormous amount of respect for each other. But you know, I'm a confident enough person, and she is also, to you know, to take jabs at each other, and we know that they're just meant in jest; they're not meant in a mean way. And but we, you know, I mean, off camera, we talk about some, you know, pretty interesting things. I said to her on Saturday, I said, you know, Mary Jo, with what we know about each other, we could write a tell-all book, you know, the best of what's for dinner. She even named it, called, you know, dish to dish, you know.
Yeah.
No, we get along very well, and I love her kids, and, you know, it's like a marriage that you've had for, you know, 15 years.
Yeah, and I mean, if you wrote a tell-all book, you could tell a lot. You were with her through all that
yeah.
Dean and Tory stuff?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, from day one.
Yeah.
I was offered $75,000 by the Inquirer to spill the beans.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'll never forget saying to them, I said, you know, what would motivate me to do this? First of all, you know, I should tell you, I have enough to give you, but what would motivate me? Oh, well, you know, we'll pay you. And I said, so, you know, here her husband just left her and you know, did all this stuff. And then her next best friend is going to betray her? What's in your mind? Mm-hmm. And you know, she referred to herself as a journalist, and that's where I took issue. I said, you're not calling yourself a journalist, are you?
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, I've gone through it all, and she's gone through all, you know, different things in my life, and you know, the interesting thing about what we do is you know, it really narrows down your group of friends and the people that you can actually trust and not have, you know, everything get out there and in print.
Well, one of the things that I read about the two of you, and I think she said it, mm-hmm. was that there are a lot of people, I mean, I'm sure when you go across the country, you're recognized for yes. the show. Someone said to her that they're oddly enough both repulsed and attracted by the two of you on television.
Yeah.
What do you make of that?
Well, I think what it is people are always shocked. I mean, if you think about it, we were the first reality television on television in the sense that we talked about our own lives. She talked about me in great detail. You know, we went through a period of time where we had issues with each other. So, you know, we were dealing with this sudden notoriety. And I think what people are surprised about is that on a cooking show, we talk about the subject matter that we talk about, you know. And I think that's what it is, but that's what people find really interesting about who we are. I don't find it that interesting because I guess I do that every day and I talk to her every day. But the general public really does find that whole sense of what are they going to say next or what is she going to do and how is he going to take it? And, you know, I mean, she's a very strong woman. And I'll be honest with you, you know, if I did what she does to me on television, as you know, as a male, I would have been fired years ago.
Yeah.
You know, so she, you know, we have kind of a reversal of the roles, and we laugh at that because she is a very strong woman, and you know, I'm a very strong man, and a lot of what you see as Ken on television is really, you know, in my real life, I wouldn't tolerate a lot, you
right.
know. But it's part of entertainment.
And you were apart for a while after What's for Dinner ended,
yes,
right?
Yes, she moved down to Los Angeles, and I was doing my own thing, and yeah.
And then now that you're back together again, it must be fun for both of you?
It is. It's great. You know, she really keeps me motivated, and she makes me laugh every day, and you know, I hear everything. I hear the whole, oh, and you know what they did, you know. So, and, you know, she's got to listen to me about me and the dogs. And, you know, I had this big Chihuahua wedding in June, and she had to listen to that for 6 months. And, you know, she said to me one day, if I hear any more about that big Chihuahua wedding, I'm going to take a shrimp fork and poke my eye out.
What do you feed the dogs?
I actually feed them a combination of stuff. I, you know, sometimes I cook for them. And other than that, they eat this dry food. You know, they're Chihuahuas and special, but I don't, you know, they're dogs, you know. So I don't want to have any eating issues with them.
And do you travel with them across the country?
I do occasionally. They're not on this trip. But Napoleon, their names are Napoleon and Josephine. Napoleon usually travels with me. And I married them off in June. I did the big Chihuahua wedding because I have a pet care line called Bark.
Right.
So I married them off. And, you know, the director of our television shows came to me in March and said, you know, Kenny, we really should film the big Chihuahua wedding. And I said, you know, what would I use it for? And he said, you know, you may regret not doing it. So it was the kind of thing where I couldn't afford to do it, but I couldn't afford not to do it. So I did it, and the Big Chihuahua Wedding, the documentary, is now going to be turned into a movie.
Really?
And it'll come out next fall. Yeah.
In the book, you have a recipe for fried rice, and
uh-huh.
that's your mom's recipe?
My mom's recipe, yes.
What was the secret to it?
Well, the secret, I'll tell you, she held this back for ages because she'd make this fried rice, and it was so delicious. And, you know, it was a very common ingredient. She would take half a pound of bacon and start that off first. So she would use bacon and use that as her base for her fried rice. And that's what she did. And it, you know, when you add bacon to anything, it always tastes good.
And do you cook, like, on this book tour? I'm sure you do events where you have to cook. But,
yep.
I mean, do you miss it when you're not cooking, say, if you're holed up in a hotel somewhere?
No, I don't. Because I cook a lot at home. I very rarely go out. So I cook a lot at home, and the recipes in the book are the way I cook. I like to bastardize recipes. That's what I do.
Yeah.
I take recipes that you'll have in a restaurant and go, well, how can I do that? I do that, but I cut to the chase. So I leave out about 10 steps, and make it easy for the consumer and myself.
Ken, it's been good to talk to you today.
It's been my pleasure.
And
you got a lot out of me.
This book, I'm sure it'll be a big success, but continued good luck with it nonetheless.
Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. The website for more is kenkostick.biz. The full title of the book is The $10 Gourmet Restaurant Quality Meals That Won't Break Your Budget. It's published by Whitecap, and the show He Said, She Said, you can see that on Viva. Ken Kostick on the line in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plano.